He asked a lot of questions. That's why this is an 8-week series. Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord Jesus, we come to you today carrying our hurts, our habits, and even our hidden wounds. Father, as you ask us the hard but healing questions, do you want to get well and who touched me? Help us respond with honesty and with faith. Holy Spirit, open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us this morning. Push me out of the way and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, good morning again. Welcome to week number 2 of the questions Jesus asked. I'm enjoying this series so far. I hope you are. I hope you're learning something. I hope you're, kind of getting a glimpse of why Jesus might ask certain questions. And hopefully today you will also recognize why he asks the 2 questions that we're going to go over this morning. But let's talk about pain. Has anybody ever been in pain? Right, not like I stubbed my toe kind of pain, but like just this deep pain, like chronic pain, right? Like an illness that causes a bunch of pain. Not kind of pain that really, touches on the fruits of the Spirit, right? Like it's like you stub your toe, okay, I need some self-control so I don't say what's in my mind, right? Not that kind of pain. The deep-rooted pain that we have really in our soul, in our heart, emotional scars, mental health, addictions, that kind of pain. Now imagine carrying that pain, not just for a few days, not for a few weeks, but as we're going to take a look in John chapter 5, for 38 years. This really just terrible pain for 38 years. Now, I know and I recognize that there are some people, maybe not here right now, but there are people in this world who have been struggling for 38 or more years, right? But Jesus is the healer. So for 38 years, this guy had pain. And then John chapter 5, Jesus asks him very simply, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And we're going to really unpack that because it seems like kind of a weird question that Jesus would ask a paralyzed man sitting by the pool in Bethesda. Do you want to get well? Well, of course I want to get well. I'm tired of sitting or laying on this mat. Of course, that's a silly question, but that's not why Jesus was asking it. And then, of course, in Mark chapter 5, when Jesus healed the woman who could not stop bleeding. Now, if we were writing a script for Jesus, right, we'd probably expand on that a little bit, right? Like, do you want to get well? Very simple. Yeah, of course we do, right? But why was Jesus asking such a simple question? And as we go through this message this morning, you're going to realize it's not because he was searching for an answer, because obviously he already knows what the answer is. He's looking for transformation. He's looking for the person, the man, to have his life transformed. Jesus never wastes his words. So when he asks those questions, he's not wasting words for people to just, willy-nilly just answer, okay, yeah, this is super easy. Easy question, easy answer, right? No, he's not wasting words. Jesus' questions often sound simple on the surface, but they are designed to bring deep personal reflection. That's your first, if you have your notes, it's one of the first one on your notes. His questions are always intentional. Always intentional. So if you've ever been really asked by Jesus, or you felt, just Jesus really tugging on you, just doing something, there's a purpose for it. It's not just because there is a purpose. So let's start unpacking these. We're going to start again in John chapter 5, right in verse 1. So after this, a Jewish festival took place, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. By the sheep gate in Jerusalem, there is a pool called Bethesda in Aramaic, which has five colonnades. Within these lay a large number of the disabled, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who has been disabled for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and realized he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the disabled man answered, "I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, someone goes down ahead of me." "Get up," Jesus told him. "Pick up your mat and walk." Instantly, the man got well, picked up his mat, and started to walk. Now that day was the Sabbath. So just picture this, right? This man laying on his mat by the pool of Bethesda. Now it's not just, you know, like a kiddie pool, right? This is a pool, and it's surrounded by people, right? And so what happens was, is what they believed is that an angel would come and stir up the water. The first person who got into the water was the one who got healed, right? So this paralyzed man, he couldn't, obviously he couldn't walk down there. So he would try to, you know, drag himself. He would try to get somebody to help him, and somebody always got in front of him. So he was never able to be the first one in the water. And then Jesus walks in. He walks in, and after 38 years, he just asks this guy a question. "Do you want to get well?" And we have a video, because you don't need to listen to me. This is a clip from The Chosen. You know how much I love The Chosen series. This is like a 3-minute clip, and this is the exact scene that we're talking about. So I just want you to think and just watch this.
Shalom. Me? Yes.
Shalom.
I have a question for you.
For me. I don't have many answers, but I'm listening.
Do you want to be healed?
Who are you?
We'll get to that later. But my question remains.
Will you take me to the water? Look, I'm having a really bad day.
You've been having a bad day for a long time. So?
Sir, I have no one to help me into the water when it's stirred up. And when I do get close, the others step down in front of me. And so,
look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you, or who's not helping, or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I've tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing. And you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I don't know.
You don't need this pool. You only need me. So, do you want to be healed? So let's go. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk.
Free to walk, like he said. Don't forget your bed.
Why does this matter?
Because you're not coming back here. That life is over. Everything changes now.
I think that explains it better than maybe I could, right? John 5:6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and realized he'd already been there a long time, he said, do you want to get well? That's it. Do you want to get well? And then really at first glance, it's kind of insulting the guy. He kind of saw his face like, what was the first thing he asked, right? Who are you? And then he just sort of looks at this guy, or this guy's looking at Jesus. Like just with like almost like disbelief, kind of, I don't know, like disrespectful. Like why are you even talking to me like that? Like, you know I'd want to get well. You know I can't walk. And what does he say in verse 7? Sir, the disabled man answered, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, someone goes down ahead of me. And he starts listing the reasons that he can't get well. Some might call them excuses. What does Jesus say in the video? You don't need that pool. The only thing you need is me. The only thing you need is me. You know, oftentimes I think we look at situations in our own life and we know that we need Jesus, but we still try to do it on our own, or we make excuses for why this or why that is happening, when in fact the only thing that we need to get well is Jesus. Now, I'm not even just talking about, spiritual healing, right? Or excuse me, physical healing. I'm also talking about spiritual healing, emotional healing, all of the healing that we know Jesus can and does do. Sometimes we get so used to our brokenness that we start identifying with it. It starts becoming like our identity. The man at the pool had grown so accustomed to his suffering that it became part of his personal story. This is just who I am. I can't walk. This is who I am. I'm going to be here for another 38 years or until I die. All right, this is me. I've always struggled with this. Do you really want to be healed? Right, does he truly want to be healed? And are we ready for life on the other side of suffering? Because as we learn where there's going to be some things that we have to do to receive this healing. And Jesus cuts right through those excuses that the guy made in verse 8. He says, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. Just cut through all the junk, all the excuses. Says he saw on his face that he wanted to be healed. So he healed him, and he says, time to get up, dude. Time to get up and walk. Take your mat and bounce. You don't need to be here anymore. Really never needed to be here in the first place. As soon as Jesus did that, what did he do? He slapped his leg. He felt the sensation. He stood up. And he left. You know, it's important to recognize that sometimes Jesus heals instantly. But there's also times where he doesn't. We pray for healing and we pray for him. And there's people on our prayer list that we've been praying for so long. And they are not yet healed. Now, I believe truly that God is going to heal them. But sometimes it takes a long time. Of course, our own kind of selfishness or whatever it is, we want people to be healed immediately. We want it to happen instantaneously. And let's be honest, that's just not the case all the time. That's just not the case. Obedience brought transformation. Sometimes we'll spend years waiting for a breakthrough, but avoid taking the first step of obedience. Right, so we might pray for healing of whatever it is that's going on in our life, but we don't take that first step of obedience, whatever it might be. It's so important that we pray for it, talk to God about it, but we also have to be obedient. It might be, okay, you want to, maybe you're an alcoholic and you need to, you want to stop drinking and you're praying for that healing from addiction. And God says, you know what, the crowd that you've been running with for the past 15 years who are all your best friends, you need to leave them alone. Go find new friends and you'll be healed. But we get stuck on, oh man, I've been with these folks for 15 years. I can't just leave them all high and dry. Right, we're going to continue to hang out. You know, if you're able to heal me, then maybe I could, you know, focus on that. But if God is telling us to do something, we have to be obedient and do it. And you've heard me say it a bunch of times. It is not easy, right? It is not an easy thing to do to be obedient, but it is critical in order to be healed. Let's take a look at the woman who continued to bleed. We'll look at Mark chapter 5. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him. Now a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing. For she said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be made well. Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, who touched me? But he was looking around to see who had done this. The woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. Daughter, he said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction. So Jesus is on his way. The context of this is Jesus is on his way to heal a little girl who is dying, and there's just this huge crowd of people surrounding him. And of course, it's kind of like, you know, like Walmart on Black Friday, right? Like there's just elbow to elbow. People are all over the place. Everybody's touching Jesus, you know, maybe inadvertently. But this lady reaches down with complete faith and touches his robe. That's it. Touched his robe. And she was healed. She was healed. She sneaks through, touches, and then boom. Healed. Now Jesus knew the power had gone out for him. We look at verse 30. Immediately Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes?" Now, of course, he knows, right? He knows who touched his clothes. And again, like the disciples were like, seriously? We are surrounded by people. There are people, you know, bumping into you, doing all kinds of things, touching you. But she was the one who touched in faith. Jesus isn't interested in that surface level contact. He's not interested in that surface level contact. He's interested in genuine faith. Genuine faith, just like that woman. She had that faith, touching his robe. We could be surrounded by spiritual activities and still miss that real personal connection with Jesus. Right? We could be in this church during the service, surrounded by, like, I believe God is present. I believe he is here. I believe the Holy Spirit is moving. But you might not be in a place in your own life. Your relationship with Jesus might be have something going on, whatever it is. So you can be surrounded by all the things happening right now in this church and still not have that personal connection with Jesus. And I pray that that is not the case. And we pray for you. I pray for you every single day, each one of you. And I pray that our relationship with Jesus is only strengthens as the days go on. But if we don't have that personal connection, then we're missing the mark. And of course, the woman, once Jesus turned around and said, "Who touched my clothes?" She knew she's been found out. Right? She knew she'd been found out. In verse 34, what does Jesus say to her? "Daughter," he says to her, "your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction." Now, what does he address her as? Daughter. Daughter. The only time in the Gospels that Jesus uses that term is there. Daughter. And after years, you know, so because she continued to bleed for 12 years, she was considered unclean, right? She couldn't go to temple. She couldn't do a lot of different things. And Jesus, what did he do? He publicly restores her identity as the daughter of God. So there's two questions that we've gone over. We're not done yet, so don't worry. There's two questions that we've gone over. Do you want to get well, and who touched my clothes? Different situations. One man can't get to the source of healing, and the woman touches the source of healing. So let's linger here in that first part. Do you want to get well? It's a question that is worth asking, because it certainly sounds great, right? Everything that we have going on in our life, whether it's physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it is, healing sounds awesome, right? It's something that would just be amazing for us. Healing sounds appealing until we realize it often requires us to step out of our comfort zone. It costs us our identity, right? It's talking about, you know, if you are struggling with addiction and you have to, you know, leave all the friends that you've, you know, grown up with for the past 15 years or whatever it is, sometimes we lose our comfort. And sometimes we lose control. Right? Maybe we think we're in control of something and we want this healing. In order to receive this healing, we have to give up control of whatever it is. Jesus is asking us, are you ready for the responsibility to be healed? Are you ready for the responsibility to be healed? Because he healed a man that could no longer blame the world, right? Oh, this person wouldn't help me. This person went ahead of me in line at the pool. No, that guy now has to walk. Jesus brings healing. When Jesus brings healing, he also invites us into a new way of living. A new way of living. So when we cling to our pain, sometimes even unknowingly, it can kind of become a prison that we find ourselves in. We identify with the pain in our life, again, not just physical pain, mental, emotional, all the things. It becomes part of who we are because we are unwilling to give it up. We are unwilling to allow Jesus to heal us from it. It's like a guy who drives a car, right? This car is, let's say it's a 1981 Honda Accord. I don't even know if they made them in 81. Has no AC, the windows don't roll down, power steering went out, all the things, but he's like, man, it still rolls, and it's got so much sentimental value to me, so I'm going to hang on to this instead of, just get a different car that actually works well. That's the same thing when Jesus offers to heal us, and we don't take that step of obedience. We're driving that beat-up car that doesn't have air conditioner. Let's just say that we live in Arizona, and it is July, right? Been there, right? You'd want to get a different car, one that would at least make it a little bit more comfortable. But we're stuck. We have this sentimental value on something else, and we just don't want to deal with what might be new. We don't want to step out in obedience at what Jesus is telling us to do. We often try to manage our pain instead of truly allowing God to heal it. I've been there 1,000 times. Right? 1,000 times, probably even more than 1,000 times. We just cling to that pain. And it doesn't matter. We know what the word says, right? We know that, we just give it to him. Pray for it. Pray for his healing. Pray for this. We're like, man, I just got too much of a grip on this pain. So let me hold on to it for a little while. Jesus is saying, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be whole, or do you want to keep managing your brokenness? Brokenness can be a stumbling block to further relationship with Jesus. And let's be honest, we're all broken. We all have some sort of brokenness, but when we give it to Jesus, things change. Now let's go back to the woman. Why does Jesus stop and ask questions, knowing exactly who touched him? Because doesn't care only about healing physically, but he's also concerned about healing our soul. He wants the woman to acknowledge she had fear, right? She was kind of stuck in shame and in secrecy because for 12 years nobody wanted to do anything, you wanted nothing to do with her. Right, because she was unclean because of all the blood. She just wanted to slip away. The woman in the crowd didn't want attention. She just wanted to slip away with her healing. And he wanted to pull her out of the crowd. He wanted to remove the shame and all the things that she's been dealing with for 12 years. And let everybody know, this is my daughter. This is my daughter. Jesus gave her dignity back. Some of us might be trying to sneak a blessing and then slide away. I get that. We want the healing, but we don't want that intimacy with God. We get the healing when we get the intimacy with God. We have to have that relationship with him. We want that miracle without the relationship. But Jesus always says, I see you, and I want more than a transaction. I want transformation. And sometimes we settle for a touch from Jesus. What he really wants is that full relationship. wants that full relationship with us, that completely uninhibited a relationship with us. So now it's our turn to answer his questions. I hope you're ready. Do you want to get well? Are you willing to let go of what is comfortable and embrace what is healing? Are you open to the possibility that God might not just change your circumstances, but change your identity? Change your identity. What about who touched me? Are you coming to Jesus in faith? Or are you just kind of brushing up along? Are you touching him with that complete faith that woman had? I couldn't find a video for that, but just thinking about that, just trying to picture that scene in my mind, I'm just picturing her as just a huge crowd of people, and she, you know, perhaps she's like on her hands and her knees, and she just reaches as far as she can, and maybe she can't quite reach, and she reaches just a little bit more, and she's able to just barely touch his robe, that faith that she had, and she became healed. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we have that kind of faith? Healing isn't just about physical wellness. He wants to heal our hearts. He wants to heal our minds and our souls. He wants to free the addict, restore marriages. He wants to, you know, release the mental health struggles that people are having. He wants to do all of these things, and he's still asking us, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And who touched me? So both stories point to God. Both stories point to God, and you see the ultimate healing isn't just about feeling better. Isaiah 53 says, "But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds." So Jesus didn't just perform a healing. He was the healing. He became the way of the healing on the cross. Jesus is the way. He bore our sin, our sickness, our brokenness. He bore everything on the cross for a scumbag like me and for you. I won't call you a scumbag, right? But for people like us, sinners like us, he did that to give us healing. And Romans 5 reminds us, "But for God proves his own love for us, and yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He died for us. I know we say that. I don't want to gloss over that, right? I want us to really recognize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. Like, that is a big deal. That is huge. Right? And I think sometimes we might just say, "Oh man, I'm so grateful that Jesus, you know, died on the cross for me." No, do we actually sit there and do we recognize, man, you went through so much pain. You had nails in your hands and in your feet, and you were whipped and beaten for me, so I could be healed, so you could be healed. Have you ever broken a favorite coffee mug or a vase or something like that? You try to glue it back together, but it never looks the same. Anybody been there? Yeah. There's a Japanese art called Kintsugi, where pottery is broken and then it's repaired with gold. There's a picture of it right there. I've probably seen those plenty of different times and never realized that there was actually that was a thing, right? The cracks don't get hidden. They become the highlight, right? So that thing was broken. The gold now becomes the highlight. The cracks become the highlight, and that's exactly what Jesus does. He doesn't just fix us. He makes beauty from our brokenness. Our brokenness doesn't disqualify us. It sets the stage for God's restoration. Our brokenness doesn't disqualify us. Amen to that, right? Because we are all broken. We all have a past. We've all done dumb things in our life. And that doesn't disqualify us for God's restoration. Healing is messy. Just like a hospital gown, right? You wear this hospital gown, doesn't really look too dignified, right? The back is wide open, right? Showing it all. Showing everything. Healing often involves confronting the very things we've spent years trying to hide. Healing exposes stuff. But on the other side of it, we get healing. Jesus isn't afraid of what's underneath, right? He's not afraid of what's underneath the old hospital gown. He knows. He created it. He gets it. He's not afraid of it. He's still coming to us for healing. So today, whether you're sitting by the proverbial pool waiting for a breakthrough, or you're the woman in the crowd looking for desperate relief, but you might be too ashamed to speak up, Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. It's important that I say that a few times so you recognize that Jesus sees you. He sees what you're going through. He sees the brokenness. He sees the shame that you feel, the hurt, the pain, all of the different things. He sees you. So do you want to be healed? Are you willing to reach out in faith? Jesus is not afraid of our mess. He steps into it to bring purpose and peace. To bring purpose and peace. He's not limited by our past, and he's not shocked by our struggles. Thank you, Jesus, because I would be hosed, right? Hebrews chapter 13 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's still in the healing business. He is still in the healing business. So Jesus' questions always come with an invitation. Always come with an invitation. Not just a physical healing, but a deeper, fuller, more abundant life. This more intimate relationship with him that I believe that we all long for. John 10:10 says, a thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come so that may have life and have it in abundance. That is his. That's what he wants for us. So let's stop hiding behind excuses like the man at the pool. Let's stop clinging to different labels. Let's stop blending into the crowd. Let's reach out in faith. Let's answer him honestly. He already knows. Let's be honest. And when he asks, say, yes, Lord, I want to be healed. I want to be healed. And yes, Lord, it was me who reached out to touch your robe. And like the man and the woman in these stories, we may hear him say, get up. Get up. Your faith has made you well. Now go in peace. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for seeing us. For knowing us and still inviting us to be healed. So grateful for that. Lord, help us to leave here not just with more knowledge, but with a deeper faith and the courage to walk in wholeness. Help us, Lord, to respond to your questions with open hearts and obedient lives. Help us to stop hiding. Help us to stop making excuses. Lord, stir up a fresh desire in our hearts. That fresh desire to be made well. Not just physically, Lord, but in every part of our life. So grateful that you hear these prayers, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, well, let's stand and sing our final song. Let's stand if you're able and sing.